Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
All right, in the second half, I got a really funny clip with me and Adam Ray doing Unprepared. And Geo found the old Loveline rating system for males and for females. So you want to hang with that. Also, news coming up. First, I'll tell you about BlindsGalore.com. They got their friends and family sale. It's happening right now. Up to 50% off custom blinds and shades. One of their biggest sales of the year. And it's not going to last forever. Visit BlindsGalore.com today. Blinds Galore believes you deserve high-quality, custom-built blinds and shades and shutters. Nothing gets made until you order it. This is my home, Drew's home, studio, my edit bay, everything. Everything is Blinds Galore. Family-owned and run company for over 20 years has covered over 2 million windows and counting, and the new Build a Blind tool lets you create and customize your setup so you can see exactly what it's going to look like right on the screen before you buy. It is Blinds Galore. Right, Dawson?
Visit BlindsGalore.com today and let them know that we sent you. Shop like you're part of the family with 50% off during Blinds Galore's Friends and Family sale that's going on right now. That's BlindsGalore.com. It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Jesus Christ, Adam. Freeway sign. This is in Minnesota, Minneapolis area. Spring is for seeing flowers and motorcycles. What the fuck? I ride a motorcycle and make it stop.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Hey, Max Pata, where'd my flask go that I brought in here and set on top of the
counter? We did a little photo shoot of it, so we'll bring it back in.
Yes.
Yeah, wait.
I brought it in to show it off. Okay. I brought it in here for a reason.
Okay, I want to take a picture of it, of you holding it. So he said, okay, hold on, let me shave. So I gave it to Haley, who's going to take a picture of it with you after the show. I didn't know you wanted to talk about it on air.
Well, that's why I put it in the studio.
Okay.
All right.
All right, we'll get it.
You just put it back.
Okay, that was my bad.
That's all my only argument. It's like, if you're going to, thank you.
Was that new or newer?
My thing is, policy is you're going to undo something, then undo it. You know, put it back. Okay. That's my
the size of a back brace.
What are we looking at here?
I had been saying that the problem with the flask and the travel is they stamp 8 ounces on the flask.
Good, yeah.
And please tell me that says 3 ounces.
If some great American would see how much we're enjoying this.
That's good.
If some great American would stamp 3.4 ounces TSA approved container on what would hold, I think this is about 30 ounces, you know, half gallon or whatever.
I think it's 64.
Of booze.
Yeah,
is it 64?
Yeah.
Wow. It's big.
You could fit a quart in there probably.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if it says anything. Oh, yeah, 64
wow.
ounces.
You guys, it's a big gulp.
It's at the very bottom. But
yeah,
anyway.
It's the size of Tessa's pillow.
Yeah, so I, as a joke, just sort of said some industrious person ought to make a flask. It's a 3.4. You'd have enough booze for the whole plane.
You can't go wrong with this. It says 3.4 right here.
What?
TSA approved.
I'm trying to think of how many TSA agents I could get past.
Oh, the majority.
You think the majority? Yeah.
There'd be a couple of industrious ones or fastidious ones. Be like, nah, sorry, sir. But the majority.
Yes, it looks like a regular size flask, except for it's giant. It says Adam Carolla's Mangria, and it says 3.4 ounces on it. And it's just made me laugh.
Can I give credit to the guy who made it? So it's you can follow him on Instagram at Tierra Oso, TIERRAOSO.
Oh, we love him. He does a lot of great woodworking and everything.
Now, how much of this... Does this thing, obviously he engraved it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But does this exist, what I'm holding?
Yeah, but that's like a groomsman gift,
oh,
like a novelty type thing.
Good prop comedy.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I'll have Mike give it a try. We're going to the airport.
It's fantastic.
Tomorrow, actually. Well, we're flying on Garagus's private jet out to
Big Boy
out to Nashville, and then we go from the jacuzzi into the snowbank because the following morning we fly Southwest from Nashville to Florida. Then go do Tucker Carlson's show in Florida and then drive back that night and fly back that night from Florida to LAX.
With Big Boy or with Southwest?
No more Big Boy. Okay. Just wow. There. Yeah.
So does Garagus just have business in Tennessee and then he's hanging out there? Is he even going?
He has no business in Tennessee.
There's a bottle of Don Julio that's been tapped.
He's not even going.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, man.
Power move.
Yeah, I don't, Max Pat, I don't know how the map works, and you guys probably know better than I do, but how out of the way is Tennessee if you're flying to New York? Is it a little, not much? Do you go over the top of it?
Is it on the way?
Well, no, normally you'd fly, I think normally they'd fly over Canada or northern U.S., but it's not out.
I mean, at least it's on the correct side of the country.
You head in the right direction.
Yeah.
Do they go over Canada?
You could.
Typically, they fly north like that.
Oh, really?
That's what I've seen.
Oh.
That's what I've seen. The
international airspace.
Okay, I'm not an expert, but the flight maps that I've seen show mm-hmm. them flying either over the northern U.S. or like the southern part of Canada.
Oh, okay. Well, we should take a look at it. Anyway, we owe Mark a debt of gratitude because he's not going. No one is going to Nashville but me. And Mike.
Ooh.
And Chris. I mean, we're doing a show in Nashville.
Right.
But, so the plane's not supposed to go to Nashville. It's going to New York. He's got a couple associates, I think, that he's flying to New York who will be on the plane as well. But the whole Nashville thing is just a pure gift to us.
What a mash. Yeah.
Aeronautical experts, please correct me. I don't know.
I'm curious. No, I don't know anything about
Brian, they certainly don't fly through Tennessee and then, bang
that would
a left.
Be silly. Yeah. That yeah. Would be
right. All right. Speaking of unprepared, we got one that's Adam Ray's favorite of the night. It's a little R-rated, but Chris whacked it together, and I think you guys shall enjoy. This is from Jam in the Van.
Yeah, it's the outdoor LA venue.
All right, here we go.
You want to read it?
Yeah. I don't know if I'm saying this right. Pussy farts? Am I pronouncing it right? Did I hit the P too hard?
I think there's such a thing. Nah, it's good.
Was that yours?
That's yours. All right.
Oh, but by the way, this is what you never want when you ask a grown man, did you write pussy farts? For him just to go, hey, I'll take things I don't want you to do back to me. For $1,000, Alex.
Pussy farts is a great harbinger of success and luck in the bedroom. So if you hear a pussy fart, first off, it means you're in proximity of a pussy, number one. So
you're already winning.
You're already winning.
Yeah. If you hear it from across the way, call 911.
Right. So you're already in proximity of a pussy. Most of the time, it means your dick is in the pussy, so now you're a little further ahead.
Yeah.
It also means...
Everything's checking out so far.
You got enough piston to pull some compression in that cylinder. Yep. You know what I mean?
All that calisthenics paid off.
Yeah, you're not just taking a spoon handle and rattling around a triangle telling Cookie it's time to eat.
Well, you could be. You're probably not, but you could
be. But you're not going to get the pussy fart without the compression.
Yep, you need it.
You need the compression to get the pussy fart.
Yeah.
Somebody
famous said that. I think it was...
Yeah. I think it was Will Rogers.
It was Will Rogers, yeah.
Yeah.
You can't get the compression without a pussy fart. Hi, I'm Will Rogers.
Yeah, Mark Twain. I think it was Oscar Wilde.
Yeah.
Okay.
Orville Redenbacher.
Orville Redenbacher. All right. So if you hear a pussy fart, it means A, you're fucking.
Yeah.
B, you got enough... piston in order to create the compression to create the fart, right? C, it means she's properly lubricated, right? Because you won't get that sound if you're fucking an ashtray.
I did not know that.
Oh, I've tried.
Okay.
I've conducted many experiments.
I believe you.
There's no sound coming out of that sand.
Yeah.
So she's wet for you.
Yep.
You got enough head in yep. order to create a compression pussy fart. And then the big question is do we address this?
Yes.
I think that's
this is what,
that's the problem.
This
shall
is
it be addressed?
This is what can start or end a marriage.
Right. So
now, is there a sound that can deter you from, you know, the goal at hand?
Well, once in a while, and guys, you have to do this math. Pussy fart or fart fart? Now
we'll be right back. Pussy fart or fart fart? Okay, so there's a difference. I don't know if you can smell it, but you can hear it. You can hear it. We'll be right back.
Well,
that's the best sweeps week teaser in the history of television. Pussy fart or fart fart? We'll be right back. You don't go anywhere.
I wouldn't. Well, the whole thing about the first fart fart is fine.
Yeah.
Second one, you got to duck.
Oh, yeah.
Depending on position.
It's like
you know what I mean?
It's like an earthquake.
The first fart fart, if you're fucking, is the pump of the shotgun. Go on, yeah. Get. The second one is going to be rock salt in your ass. You know what I mean? That's time to finish up.
That's a great way to describe
call
it.
Call it a night. Because the second one is going to be backing over the tube of Crest.
Oh, God.
And it ain't going to be minty. I've had this exact conversation with my son.
I know you have.
That's why I know.
I read his blogs.
Well, there you go. Pussy farts, everybody.
That was wall-to-wall gold.
Thanks. Yeah, it struck me, and there was probably we probably did 10 minutes on it. I mean, Max Pattis whacked it down to 4 minutes. But it also means you're going at it pretty vigorously, too.
That's right.
You know, these are all good signs in the boudoir.
Update, I was dead wrong about LA to New York. Doesn't fly over Canada. I was thinking LA to London, which does fly really far north over.
Oh, we got
actually over Canada. See, over it flies over Iceland or Greenland.
Yeah, like Newfoundland.
Right. Yeah. Yes. And
so,
listen.
I was dumb. Sorry.
Everyone should be like me because it sounded dumb, but I went, oh, is that true? I didn't
Brian
think
knows
of it
stuff.
That way.
Yeah,
I didn't
know.
Do what all my friends in high school, oh, you fucking nut. Fucking dumb shit.
Psycho.
Fucking douche.
Would have been earned in that case.
Right. All right. And how close do we get to Nashville when that thing goes?
That's Nashville
right
there.
Through
so
it.
It's really not that far.
If you're going the southern route.
Oh, okay. Good. All right, so we got that to look forward, and Nate Bargatze is going to be up on stage, and Whitlock's coming out as well. So it should be a loaded,
star-studded
show. Ozzy's GoFundMe, the funeral has surpassed its goal, which is now closed, but support Ozzy's family is at about $10,000. So that's still open if you would like to be generous there. Yes, Gina.
Real quick, just to piggyback on that. Today, as we record this, is our funeral fund closed for my dad, and today is his birthday, and that's why I chose today. So again, thank you all for everything.
Yeah, people are really good. I'm surprised at how generous people are.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. We got some Dawson news. We got some ArcLight news. We got our Loveline rating system. Dawson, what is your stand-up news? Speaking of Jam in the Van.
Yeah, the Jam in the Van thing was fun. I am always interested in doing better. Last night, I got a call from Brad Williams. He's going to be at the Bray Improv the weekend of April 30th, and he offered me 7 minutes Friday night and Saturday night, both late shows, 9:45 p.m. on Friday, April 30th, May 1st, Saturday at 9:30 p.m., and I'm going to do 7 minutes to open for Brad Williams.
Nice. 7 minutes in heaven.
Good for you.
The crowd will be half capacity, 240 people.
That's it?
Mm-hmm. That's a lot. That's a lot of people.
It's a big
lot.
Place.
And Brad, that's his hometown, so Brad expects that we will have a very big crowd there. So please buy tickets. Go to Brad Williams Comedy, because I could use to stack the deck a little bit more in my favor. Go to bradwilliamscomedy.com.
Give us the date again.
It is April 30th, Friday night. And May 1st, Saturday. And my rule is, you know, as far as stand-up goes, and if this has happened a lot of the times that I've done it, is when someone says, hey, do you want to come and do stand-up? My answer has to be yes.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say no.
Yeah.
No, that's the number one. When you're starting out, it's number one piece of advice every stand-up gives to every budding stand-up is just do everything you can, get as much stage time. It's really, it's kind of like, there's an equation, and it varies. It's kind of that Freakonomics 10,000 hours thing, but it's like you will not be good until you've logged 1,000 minutes or whatever that thing is. It's like saying you don't get your pilot's license right. until you've done soloed for this many hours or whatever it is. So the sooner you get there, the better. So the more 7-minute spots you do, the faster you'll get your beaker will fill up with that experience, and you want to get it to the top of the beaker.
Well, so, with that question in mind, and I mean, I kind of know the answer because nothing's open, or I don't know if it is. But to get that 7 minutes and to get comfortable, will you be doing any open mics before that?
I don't think so. Maybe I'll look into it. It's only 2 weeks away.
I don't know that there are any open mics.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
I just will be practicing in front of a mirror and just try to get it as tight as I can and make the jokes hit. And you know, Brad said two things. He said, one, do you want to get reps? And I said, absolutely. He said, okay, here's your opportunity. And then he said, the good news is I don't care if you bomb. I'm like, thanks.
Oh.
So it's gonna be fun. April 30th, May 1st, Brea Improv, bradwilliamscomedy.com has tickets.
I'll wish upon a desert star for you.
And the late show. The late show. Both nights.
All right. Also, we have the Geo, I guess, found it and maybe gave it to Chris, and then Chris whacked up. We're talking about the rating system on Loveline. I talked about, well, this was a Dawson-centric discussion, but just, you know, rate yourself, figure out your personality, your income, your looks, your...
The total, the oof.
Yeah, and again, it varies. Men and women vary. Income, not quite as important on the female side, more important on the male side. Height, more important for a female and less on the male side toward the female. Right. People.
Nice knockers, better for the female. Less
that's
for the,
right.
Busty. Yeah.
So we pulled this clip from 97.
Damn.
Yeah, that's you talking to a producer, Ann, Lisa, and Sherry, and trying to explain to them this rating system you came up with.
Sure, they didn't understand it at all, but go ahead.
Here's the breakdown. Now, you ladies, Ann, Lisa, and Sherry, tell me what you think about this. And it may come across as a little bit sexist at first, but please just hear me out. The male category is basically four categories. It goes looks, personality, position, which, like I said, are you a doctor? Are you a, do you have a really cool and attractive job? You know what I mean? Are you a professional, you know, tennis player or something like that? Or do you, all right, are you in a band? That's a good position one. Like Dwight Yoakam, when he was driving a truck, he was a 5.5, a 6. But when he gets up there on that stage, he's an 11. That's his position. He's a rock and roller.
It depends what band.
Yeah, it depends what band. Okay. Right. Position and sense of humor, which there's some argument that that's part of personality. But again, this is your number how it as it pertains to the opposite sex. And women are constantly talking about a guy with a sense of humor. So I'm going to count that as a fourth category. Do you agree?
Score. Yeah.
All right, so looks, personality, sense
by the
humor,
way,
position
positive this way.
In life.
Which yeah, okay.
You say
yeah,
so.
That's what you're doing.
That was every conversation I had with Loveline. Like, it was never like, oh, this is a cool idea. Let me get my pen out. It's like, yeah.
Huh?
Okay.
All right.
Oh, well,
if you must.
Depends what band. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It's better to be in U2 than to be in Loxy. No, I mean, look, I don't know the names of failing bands because they're failing bands.
This
and
you're 11.
And you're sitting right there. Yeah. So what do you want me to do? Pull out a name of a band that's failing that no one's heard of?
That's better to be in U2 than it is to be in Us3.
That's right.
There you go.
Oh, yeah, that was. All right. Sorry. Go ahead. Right. Rewind it. Hold on. Hold on, Dawson. Can you rewind it 10 seconds? I do want to hear Anne's.
As it pertains to the opposite sex, and women are constantly talking about a guy with a sense of humor. So I'm going to count that as a fourth category. Do you agree?
Yeah.
All right. So looks, personality, sense of humor, and position.
I got my grandma
in life, which usually means you got some money too. If you're a doctor, if you're a lawyer, if you head up a big company, if you're a professional golfer, tennis player, or rock musician. I sound old when I say professional rock musician, don't I? All right, now, here's the women's categories. Now, hang on there, ladies. Drew, block the door there. Body, face, personality, and general ease to get along with. Now, this is what I'm saying, this is what guys look at. Now, see, don't put a puss on, Sherry, because I'm saying guys look at women this way. They look at a woman's face, they look at a woman's body, they look at a woman's personality, and then they look at how easy is it to hang out with her. Is she a pain in the ass? Is she high maintenance? Can we just hang out and watch TV on a Friday night?
Yeah, but if a girl is a pain in the ass to hang out with, all of a sudden that pretty face isn't so pretty anymore.
That's why
the number goes lower.
That's right. Again, I'm not saying that these things are right. I'm just saying these are what the other sexes look at. And I would say, like, a woman looks at a guy's looks overall, but a guy will break it up into body and face. Guys will do that all the time. Great face, horrible body, or vice versa. Women, for the most part, say either the guy's cute or he's not, because they're a little more mature that way. And the whole upkeep thing isn't really an issue for women, but for men it is.
All right.
Well said.
Good category.
And I like that you reiterated, it's not good, bad, right, or wrong. I'm just telling you, this is the way it is.
I know. I was staring at an aquarium with super passive-aggressive fish in it. They would always like have their arms folded and be like, oh, blah, blah. Every notion I ever had over there, I had to sell it.
Yeah.
Because nobody had a fucking sense of humor and didn't like my sense of humor or something. And I've never quite figured it out, but nobody there was down with my cause.
They were not bored.
And Drew would just sort of sit there and look at you, too. So it was a weird place to do comedy or to attempt comedy. But we actually have the numbers.
Yeah, ooh. So you and Drew actually discussed it for like 10 minutes trying to figure out what each other's score was. So ultimately, you gave Drew, for looks, an 8.5.
Oh. Yeah, it's good looking.
Personality, an 8.5.
Oh, generous.
Sense of humor, you gave him a 4.
Well, he again, generous.
Yeah.
And you said the 4 is entirely based on the fact that he enjoys Woody Allen movies.
Yeah, how
he does enjoy
tables.
Woody Allen for a guy. Right.
And then position, you gave him a 9.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah,
it was a combination, yeah.
So his score is a 7.5.
That's good. And he does have a great personality. You know, he's an affable guy.
He averages a 7.5, okay.
All right, and then Adam, Drew gave you, in looks, an 8.
Mm-hmm.
Personality, a 6.5.
Needs work.
Sense of humor, you got a 10.
Oh,
that's good.
And then for position, you got an 8.
Oh. Mm.
So your score is actually higher than Drew's. Yours is 8.1.
Pulled it off.
It was pre-man show, you know, before multiple cable shows.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't tell my grandma. God, I love her. Give me a score.
Oh, God.
Can we do negative scores?
What's below 0?
Point. All right, so there you go. Try it at home and get divorced.
Is it possible? How do you figure out your own score?
I'm
trying to figure out what my score would be.
I do not think you're allowed to give your own score. It doesn't work in gymnastics.
Yeah.
It won't work here. I like when people pick a weird thing and just graft it on.
Yeah,
you can't do it.
Okay.
You have to ask someone else to do it, and Andy can't do it.
Of course not.
Nobody you know can do it. You have to have a girl who, not that you, and you can't even have someone you like do it.
Right.
You have to have an impartial observer.
Oh, this will be fun. Hey, Twitter.
That's what I was going to say. You don't want to do that either. But here's my question. Once you take that score, is geography factored in? Like when people say, like, well, I'm in LA 4, but I'm a Kansas 9. You know, like, how do we factor in? Please don't.
Well, when we're flying over Canada to get to Nashville tomorrow, Brian, maybe we'll look into that geography.
But people say stuff.
No, I think that's going to muddy the waters
too
much. I think you just have to have a number. And that number shall be your
travels
number.
With you.
Yeah. And then we have to sort of give you an aggregate score, 7.5, okay, sure. 7.8, yeah. You know, whatever that number is. I don't know, like a GPA,
right.
You know, English, math, mm-hmm. You know, history, and we'll add it up and we'll figure out the average.
And of course, your number can change.
Score.
You know, when your number's different than when you were a carpenter.
Yeah. Now my number's that. Yeah, I'm different than what it was then because I'm now an old guy.
That's
so,
right.
You know, you got to deduct some, there's some age numbers that factor in as well. But yeah, do it. I think you'd almost have to be wired like me and wired like Drew to pull this one off. Because Drew takes no offense to me saying he has a 4 for a sense of humor, you know, because he probably thought that was generous. But what I'm kind of saying is you can't really do it with your spouse and yeah. You can't really do it with a good girlfriend. It'd be tough.
How do you? Well, yeah, I don't love the Twitter idea, Brian. So who do you go to?
You have to.
I know what you do.
Find like a line judge at a tennis match or something.
I am not suggesting this, but I think the only way you do it is like you fold it up and you put it in the hat, and so nobody, you know, so you keep it honest, and then you take the average of everybody's vote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not. Well, I broke the categories up because, like, for instance, looks. I did a face and a body breakup right. for women. I did one for men because I was trying to kind of offer the nuanced differences between the males and the females.
Oh, look at his dad bod. Isn't he cute?
That's right. All right. Let me tell you about Signal Wire, powering the future of remote business communications. Major TV studio recently needed remote actors to re-record and dub their lines. So it has to be the highest quality and the best technology. They use Signal Wire's low latency audio and video tech with virtually no sound or video lag. That's the other thing, too. There's not that delay. Signal Wire's design mimics the in-office experience, offering quick, informal, unscheduled interactions that are critical to employee productivity and solidarity and solidifying company culture. Smart businesses use Signal Wire to future-proof their businesses. Sign up before April 30th at signalwire.com with the code Adam, and they'll buy lunch for your first team meeting. The technology is unbelievable. I was on the phone with probably 10 people. You could go from room to room. Other people would pop up. It is... You kind of don't have to go back to work anymore with SignalWire. So go to signalwire.com for terms and conditions. That's signalwire.com. Use the code Adam. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back and do the news right after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. Weird crime, protest, politics. Give me news with Gino Grad. Stuff they saw on TMZ. Joe Biden. Come on, Meet News with Gina Grad.
The News with Gina Grad.
Well, let's touch on what's going on in Minnesota because it has just been crazy up there for almost a year now. So the police officer in Minnesota, I believe it's Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, who fatally shot a man Sunday after allegedly mixing up her taser with her gun, she's resigned. So is the police chief, Tim Gannon, also announced he's departing. Earlier in the day, the chief said the officer intended to draw her taser, mistakenly pulled her gun, shot a single bullet into the motorist after what sounded like a struggle to keep him from fleeing the scene. Protesters and police have clashed for another night in Minnesota over this. Hundreds of demonstrators refused to obey curfew. CNN reports the victim, Dante Wright, was being pulled over for expired tags, and it was discovered he had an outstanding warrant. The officer is, she's now resigned. Meanwhile, all the sports in Minnesota were postponed on Monday. Minnesota Twins postponed their game against the Red Sox. NBA's Minnesota Timberwolves.
My version of Minnesota growing up does not mimic this version of Minnesota. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a bunch of blonde-haired guys who sounded like, you know, or women who sounded like they were, you know, like your Minnesota mom.
Oh, yeah. You guys want to take some snacks to the Twins game or you're going to get a hot dog when you get there?
I didn't picture this Minnesota.
Yeah, this is a different Minnesota. And Minneapolis is a very diverse city, but we're not even talking about Minneapolis anymore.
They shit canned the Minneapolis, I don't know, whatever his the guy. I'm trying to think of who got fired in Minneapolis. It's his position.
The mayor?
Wasn't the mayor. Was some spokesperson for the mayor's office or something who said, well, we got to give this, the officer, we got to do the due process.
Right,
like,
right.
We owe him due process. And they're like, you're fired. Wow. And it like said, due process. It's like, you're out. Like, that's Mark Geragos goes ballistic with this stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, he always says it five times. He's the guy who goes after the cops right. all the time. But when we're getting to the point where we're talking about getting rid of due process, that's scary. That's scary. Also, listen, everything, and I don't know the nationality of the female cop. Has it been spoken of?
I've seen her picture. She looks white.
She's a white woman.
Yeah.
I did not hear her name or her nationality.
Kim Potter, Kim Porter. Got it.
But and thank God it's a woman for some stupid reason. It's always where, you know, there's a sort of pecking order of cops shooting black people. It's white male, you know, the worst. Female, better. Hispanic, not as bad. And if it's a black cop, you know, if it's a black female cop shooting a black man, it probably doesn't chart.
Who was the cop that shot the Asian man? I mean, who is the Asian cop who shot the black man in his car when he was reaching for his license?
Yeah.
That was an Asian cop, right?
Philando Castillo was the person who was shot.
With Paul, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a great example of a horrible cop shooting.
Right.
Other ones, a little more nuanced, because even though as a society, we do this thing. And by the way, the news outlets, you are enraging the community when you do the guy was at a Wendy's drive-thru and he was just napping in his car and the cop shot him. No. He was passed out driving a car in a Wendy's. And the Wendy's called the cops, and then the cops showed up because the guy was apparently loaded and he passed out. They got him out of the car. They tried to arrest him for drunk whatevering. Then a huge fight broke out. Then the guy whooped both the cops,
right.
And then the cop got the taser and they pulled it in. Then they shot him, which I don't agree with shooting fleeing people, but do not couch it as a guy fell asleep in his car and got shot for the trouble. That's a little oversimplified. And of course, you would be outraged if that, in fact, was how it went. Guy dozed off in his car. And then also, there's this weird armchair quarterback or backseat policing going on where it's just like thing, it's like, well, okay, the guy had warrants, or the guy was drunk, but you didn't have to, like, arrest or whatever. That'll be good news next time I get pulled over if I'm drunk. I said, let Corolla sleep on the side of the freeway. I don't get what you gotta fucking haul him in. This is not right. Cops can't do that.
Right.
Somebody calls them or they pull someone. I mean, there's bad cops and bad policing, no doubt. But this sort of thing of like, well, why do you have to arrest the guy? It's like, well, I've been arrested for warrants. You get pulled over, you have a warrant, they are compelled to arrest you.
Right.
Because, in fact, they are the police. That's how they do it. And then when they're arresting you, if, in fact, you fight them, when they're attempting to execute their job, then there's an issue.
Yeah. And that's for the body cam footage. They show a minute from her body cam footage, even though there were other cops there. And she yells taser a few times. And then you hear her say, like, oh, shit, I think I shot him.
It's also nuts to have a taser and a gun who are basically – then, by the way, apparently this happens – this is not the first time. I don't want to say frequently, but – of course it's going to happen. You have a taser, which is a pistol,
right.
And then you have a pistol, which is a pistol, and they're attached to you, and then you get this adrenaline dump, and you grab for the wrong one. I mean, how could this not happen more?
Yeah.
It seemed like you've got to do something with that taser where it's just not where the pistol
– in the same place.
Right.
Yeah, it's got to be somewhere that your brain can be activated. Like, this is not my hand is not going to this taser.
Absolutely.
Kurt Pagani, city manager of Brooklyn Center, fired after saying all city employees are entitled to due process with respect to discipline. But now, aren't there going to be tons of wrongful termination suits that are coming from, like, just firing everyone over everything all the time now?
You think so?
I think so. Yeah, anyway. It's tragic, but no reason to... It's just... It's such a weird time we're living in. And according to Hot Off the Presses, because I was just talking to Gary, because... interesting insight from Mark Garagos. So I was just talking to Gary because we're going to do our supplementary.
Beyond a reasonable doubt.
Beyond a reasonable doubt. Sorry. I got too many podcasts in my head. No. We're doing Beyond a Reasonable Doubt. And Mark was talking to Gary, and Mark was saying that that the judge in the Floyd case was going to go ahead.
The defense attorney requested right after this shooting that we've been talking about, he requested that the jury be immediately sequestered.
Right.
And the judge denied it. But when I sent that story to Mark and kind of said, you know, I'm sure you've seen this, but just in case, Mark replied back that that means, in his analysis, that the defense attorney for Chauvin believes he's winning the case, or the motion would not have been for sequestration. It would have been for a mistrial.
Oh.
Yeah, it's interesting, because if you think about it, this could be an excuse or an opening. If you thought you're getting your ass kicked in the courtroom, you
know,
this
over.
Is a mistrial. Right. Come on, we got to postpone this.
Wow.
You didn't ask for it. But that's the beauty of Mark Garagos. He reads all those tea leaves.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting. Anyway.
And apparently one of the jurors in that case does live in Brooklyn Center. Is that what it's
called?
Brooklyn Center. And a couple others have ties to that community, so that was the concern.
Interesting. Mm.
I don't know why they're not sequestered. Mark can't figure that one out either.
It's weird. High-profile case like this.
And also, I mean, you come back with the wrong verdict. It's going to be tough to get around that neighborhood.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, you can't deny how powerful this incident was. The entire country was protesting and lighting communities on fire. I mean, this, you know, you compare it to Rodney King in terms of, you know, national outreach. You tell me, because you were here and you were a different age. How would you compare the almost year-long demonstrations?
It was there was a curfew. I thankfully at the time was living in Santa Monica, so I was kind of out of it. I did have to work in L.A. and the city, and I was, you know, driving my little mini Chevy Love around, driving my little Nissan pickup truck around, and there were times, definitely, and you guys know I'm not a fear-based person, but there were times that the Reginald Denny being pulled out of his truck and having a cinder block thrown on his head spooked me, and I didn't like being stuck in traffic at a red light in the city. I just thought if the mob like comes up, you can't go backwards, you can't go forward. Like, it was a real weird, vulnerable place to be. So, you know, it'd be nice if we could just stop the narrative of what a crazy, awful, racist place this is, and how cops are, you know, gunning down black people and everything. It'd be nice to smooth it over a little, but I don't think that's happening. Mm-mm. I feel like we're going harder. So look out.
Well, to that end, CBS daytime show The Talk has returned. This was the first show in a month. Production went on hiatus while CBS investigated Sharon Osbourne. They parted ways. She got $10 million.
Look, I know I'm a broken record here, but that was women who are paid to give their, you know, unabashed opinions and hot talk and everything, kind of mixing it up mildly. I mean, what if it was the subject was horticulture? I mean, it's the fact that they were talking about race. So it's like, all you assholes always want to talk about an honest dialogue. They were actually having an honest dialogue, but you can't shit can people after the dialogue, because it stifles the next honest conversation you guys never stop yammering about.
Well, you are going to hate this clip.
Mm.
So Underwood, so Cheryl Underwood confirmed Sharon's account that her apologetic text went unanswered. She told the talk audience that she decided to decline responding to her because of the ongoing CBS investigation. Here's the setup from the first episode back, and this is Cheryl explaining what you can expect.
It's Monday, April 12th, and it's time for an episode of The Talk that will be unlike any other we've had before. We haven't been together at the studio since the week of March 10th, and as you may know, during our break, Sharon decided to leave The Talk. We need to process the events of that day and what happened since so we can get to the healing. Over the next hour, we will honestly discuss what occurred and explore some of our feelings. And we'll also show you how anyone can become more comfortable discussing important issues and having difficult conversations. And by the end of the hour, we want everyone to feel empowered and ready to move forward. So, let's start talking.
Ugh.
Thoughts?
It's the exact opposite of what just happened.
Right.
It's also, we're living in an upside down land where it's like, we got to have an open, honest, open dialogue where everyone has a seat at the table. Yes. First off, this is not her. Sharon Osbourne's not involved with anything other than she knows Piers Morgan.
Right.
Piers Morgan is not, didn't do anything either other than say, I do not believe that woman who is half black. I think I know Piers Morgan's sort of work enough. He would have definitely said that if Britney Spears was doing a sit down or any young white girl with red hair. I think he gives his opinions. First things first, why does the Piers Morgan thing need to be racialized?
Right.
You know, it's like everything is weaponized and racialized now. He's just going, I don't believe her. I like the royals. I think she's besmirching them.
That was Sharon's point. Her point was, does it matter what color Meghan Markle is, or can Pierce just not like her? That was the point.
Yes. And then she tries to defend, I guess, Pierce. I don't even know if she's defending Piers Morgan. She's just defending speech. Yeah. Like, are we not allowed to have a conversation? And then she gets shit canned for defending speech. It never took a turn for the insulting, I don't believe. I mean, she told her, like, don't cry or whatever, but it wasn't that ad hominem.
Right.
And so what was it?
And even in that initial discussion, she tried to, from what I remember, tried to give Pierce's point of view. He is a royalist. He's super into the queen. Like, his allegiance in this country is to the queen, and he doesn't think that this person is, whatever, treating her with the right respect. Color was never introduced. Until it was introduced.
Well, it shall be grafted into every conversation now, which is part of the reason we're sort of coming undone as a nation, is because of this constant beating of the drum of race. And then, you know, whether it's Piers Morgan or it's Sharon Osbourne or it's the guy from Minnesota who said the cop will receive due process, you can't just fucking fire everyone who says something that's patently true or that may not be popular.
Right.
It's weird.
But you can.
But it turns out you can.
Turns out you can.
Yeah.
But then the temerity, which was the chick's name, by the way. The temerity of then explaining, now we can resume our honest dialogue. I don't know who you're going to replace Sharon Osbourne with, but if it's a red-haired white chick, there's not going to be a lot of honesty coming out of her mouth when it comes to the issue of race.
Yeah, it's depending on what generation of TV you're watching, that promo felt very Twilight Zone. It felt very Hunger Games. It felt very Black Mirror,
right.
Very 1984.
Yeah.
You know, it just, this doublespeak, is, when you look at it that way, it's scary.
It's a little Orwellian.
Yeah. Harvey Weinstein's been indicted on sexual assault charges in L.A. and now faces extradition from New York, but he really, really doesn't want to go. He said his lawyers say it's because his health is failing, according to TMZ, and the title you love, the disgraced movie producer, wants to remain in a New York prison and is fighting extradition on humanitarian grounds.
We should all get to the point where we are disgraced one day.
Yeah, disgraced mogul.
Disgraced at one point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So here's the deal.
It's like the disgraced homeless junkie.
They never do that. Yeah. Or the disgraced truck driver. Right. You know, they don't do that.
Disgraced movie mogul.
You got to get somewhere.
That's right. So they're saying he's basically blind now. He's lost four teeth. He has medical procedures scheduled to address both these issues.
Mark's not happy with this.
Oh, I really want to hear that. Effman, the lawyer, says this on top of previously documented cardiac issues, diabetes, back pain. What does Mark think of this?
Mark thinks it's grandstanding by the LA DA.
To get him over here.
Which is, he's got 33 years
right.
already. He's never going to outlive the sentence right. that he has there. Also, I think it was the news. I think they dropped it. They made the announcement the day he was whatevered in New York. Mark's suspicious of like that.
So LA wants their shot in the spotlight.
Yeah, and he's basically saying, leave him there. He's going to die. Right. Why do I have to spend the money to fly him here and
have
do the thing? Like, yeah, zoom him. Zoom him in.
It can be done.
Yeah, because he's not going to outlive his sentence
right.
already. Now, I don't know. I think he said he had 33 years. I don't know.
That sounds right.
I don't know how parole works with that, but Mark seemed very confident that he was not going to leave prison alive
right.
with his current sentence. But anyway,
and that's his teeth.
And his teeth.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's another book coming out. And as you know, generally we don't report this stuff because it's just a way to sell a book. But
I wonder if Weinstein, you ever do that thing where you're asleep, you're having a dream or whatever, and you like wake up and you're in a hotel room, but you think you're at home
yeah.
or whatever. It's like you wake up, you do that moment where you're discombobulated yep. and you like look for your clock or something. And you're like, oh, I'm somewhere yep. else. I wonder if he ever has those dreams.
What a hellscape that would be.
It's such a hellscape.
You
right?
think the bathroom's on the right, but it's on the left.
Or you think right. you're not in prison.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just wake up and you're looking at some dude's ass crack and yeah. you're like,
you think
what?
Gwyneth Paltrow's on top of you, but
yeah.
it's really...
Well, he's fallen asleep in his palatial estate right. in New York, right. Penthouses and all the con, what I mean? And he must drift off. He must have these dreams or these thoughts and there must be this momentary thing where his eyes open and he has to orient yep. himself.
New pitch for a new Groundhog Day reboot.
Yeah. Ugh.
So we're finally getting what could be the inside story behind Janet Jackson's 2004 Super Bowl wardrobe malfunction.
Mm.
It's because the stylist who put together the outfits for Jackson and Justin Timberlake is telling all as he prepares to put out.
What is there to tell?
Well, it's kind of interesting to put out a book full of showbiz stories. And of course, this one's getting a lot of attention. Scott Lucas said that Timberlake insisted on doing something bigger than the performance. He wanted a reveal. And it could have gone, I think, more risque. He says the original plan was for Jackson to rock a pearl G-string, which would be exposed after Timberlake stepped on her dress, and that's what she'd be standing there in. Lucas says the famous moment seen around the world, I wouldn't call it a wardrobe malfunction in a million years. It was the most functioning wardrobe in history.
Yeah, it was a tearaway patch.
Yes, as a stylist, it did exactly what it was intended to do. He also revealed that there's apparently no bad blood between Jackson and Timberlake. He told Page Six, Janet has already forgiven Justin in private. They made their peace a long time ago.
Wait, but why'd she need to forgive him? Wasn't it planned?
Well, she's the one that took all the heat for that. She was the Scarlet Letter.
Oh, right.
She's the one that rips, her shirt and she has a boob exposed and she's the whore and he's just the nice boy.
She had a pierced nipple.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. I don't know why.
Is that what you remember from
all? Not a fan of the pierced nipple. Oh. But was it kind of a flap thing?
It was a pasty. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a tearaway.
Yeah, a tearaway boob cover.
I kind of want to see that again because I don't remember. It's a kind of a weird pitch for Justin to make. It's kind of like, hey, it's a Super Bowl. Like, we can't do this. And then I got this
That's
weird pierced
hubris.
Nipple.
The G-string thing would have been less controversial.
You think?
Yeah.
She's standing there in a pearl G-string?
If he had accidentally, I'm making air quotes, stepped on her dress and torn it away and she's revealed a bikini bottom or whatever, yeah, I think it would have been less controversial than a boob hanging out.
Let's see.
This is what launched all the FCC stuff against Howard Stern and blah, blah, blah.
That was it really was so unnecessary.
It was, yeah.
Poor Janet.
So it just had to be a weird pitch to make, you know?
To Janet.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, here's my idea. What, yeah, is what that something to do with backup singers? Yeah. Nope.
Dancers?
Nope.
Oh, I've seen, I've heard that, like, Lady Gaga sometimes comes and flies in on, like,
No, this is more.
What?
I was going to say boob-centric.
Oh, okay. If you want me in a bustier, I'll think about it.
One in a bustier.
I've never seen a bustier that looks like it's has.
Let's tell you about football. Hmm? Back in the day?
Yeah.
You know the great Earl Campbell?
No.
You know the great Billy Sims?
Doesn't ring a bell.
Okay, well, these are yet two examples of guys who play in the league with tearaway jerseys.
Oh, that's a great idea. Mm-hmm. So, okay, I love this. I'll be in a
jersey.
They would
try to tackle Campbell by his jersey where they had tearaway.
I love this.
This is a rich tradition.
So, okay.
Steeped in tradition. I think it's a context that everyone in the stadium is going to understand when I explain.
I think you're right.
We don't need to explain it. We will act out the tear. Yes.
Stop digging. You hit oil. You're going to have me in a tearaway jersey. You tear it away, and I'm in a tank top that says, like, Super Bowl number one.
Let's backtrack for a second. Yeah. You said stop digging, I hit oil.
Yeah.
Earl Campbell played for the Houston Oilers.
Oh, it's kismet.
So I think we are simpatico.
So
here.
Put up that tank top with me. It says like Super Bowl 57 with a thumbs
right. Now
up.
They outlawed the tearaway jersey in 1979.
Did they?
But we're bringing that shit back.
This is exciting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kids love tearaway jerseys.
Yeah. And I'll have like a full, like I'll have a onesie on, like a swimsuit on underneath. And it'll say like Super Bowl in rhinestones.
Yeah. Hold on. I got to frost my tips. Mm-hmm. But because I'm Justin Bieber. Timberlake. I mean, the world's most annoying pop star. Circa, whenever this is. Yeah, I'm just going to get you Earl Campbell's jersey, and we're just going to sew flap into it.
Great.
And how's the barbell doing on your nip slip there?
How would you know about that?
I can see it pushing through your T-shirt. Oh. I've been with a lot of groupies.
Tee-hee.
A lot.
It's good. It's good. You know, I only show it to, like, you know, people I'm dating or, like, intimate with.
Yeah, it'd be like, you know, you can tell if a wallet's in a guy's back pocket.
Right.
You see the outline.
I see.
I'm looking at your outline.
Oh.
Yeah. And you know, I think more people like to see that outline.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So do you want me to do like a silhouette and then all the lights go down and there's just like silhouette behind me and that's something that they'll maybe see if they're looking closely?
I feel like the light hit that barbell going through your nipple just right. It would wink at America.
Mm. Okay.
You really don't know Billy Sims, huh?
Uh-uh.
Interesting. How is it that you got to play the Super Bowl and yet you have no knowledge of the great Earl Campbell?
I am a fraud. You're right.
You disgust me.
Yeah, I should.
You deserve to have your breast exposed on national TV.
How's that?
Hmm?
What are we doing?
I was going to get you an Earl Campbell tearaway jersey.
Oh, okay. But I feel like you said something about my breasts exposed on national television.
Mm.
Network television?
Mm. Doesn't seem like something I would say.
Are you?
All right. Bra down, boob up. Here we go. That's just an expression for get moving.
Bra down, boob up?
Yeah, it's like, you know, shake a tail. You know what I mean? It's good to getting.
Okay.
We're making hay while the sun shines. Come on, assholes and areolas. Let's go, people. Let's go. We got to rehearse.
I don't know if I'm comfortable. Well, it doesn't matter. I can say yes. This idea is never going to make it to air anyway. So, okay. Yeah, Justin, sure. You can tear a patch off my boob and I'll expose it to America. Sounds like a plan.
And scene. Earl Campbell, what year, when did they outlaw the tearaway jersey, Brian?
Circa 1980-ish.
Yeah.
That feels like 79,
80.
That's so Magic Mike. I can't believe they ever allowed that.
Yeah.
Did Billy Sims.
He was a big bruising running back, right? And they try and tackle him and grab his jersey.
And they just have a shirt in their hand.
They do it with everyone. Well, they started in college. I feel like it started in college. It made its way to pros. I mean, he could be replacing his jerseys all the time.
Wow.
Did Billy Sims, if Billy Sims wore a tearaway jersey, I'm going to. It was banned in 1979 in the NFL?
Wow.
Jesus Christ.
Nice.
How was I D-minus student? Why wasn't I a
C-plus
student?
There weren't a lot of test questions about tearaway jerseys.
Yeah, but these are really just numbers of memory. College, they banned it in 82, so it was right in there. All right, let me tell you about Caldera. Ah, that's what I want to say. Call Dara. Dry skin, acne scars, wrinkles, or you just want better, healthier skin. This is the product I use, The Good by Caldera Lab. Non-toxic, natural serum made from 100% plants. Named by GQ as one of the best natural face serums for men. For all guys and all skin types, great with a beard and the bald one over here, the bald head as well. Or dry scalp, keeps it shiny and moisturized. Caldera Lab believes you shouldn't have to decide between clean, sustainable ingredients and real results. Simply apply to dry, clean skin, and you have a great experience. And it's the scent is good. The texture is good. The container is the best. Oh, where is that? I think we had it here somewhere. Anyway, try it 100% risk-free. If you do not love it, they'll refund you the full amount. It is Caldera. Right, Dawson?
Special offer for the Adam Carolla Show audience. 20% off your first Caldera Lab purchase of The Good. Go to calderalab.com/Adam. That's C-A-L-D-E-R-A. That's C-A-L-D-E-R-A-L-A-B.com. Or use discount code Adam at checkout.
All right, let's do one more.
All right.
Did Billy Sims have a tearaway jersey back in the day? Sorry, go ahead.
Okay, so this is a few days old, but it's real, and we have to take a look at it on the off chance you haven't seen it yet. Staff and customers at a 7-Eleven in Thailand were stunned recently by the intrusion of a giant Asian water monitor lizard. Mm. Are you familiar with this?
A Komodo dragon.
I've not seen it.
Huge, and we'll show you in a second.
Komodo dragon.
Which barged through the store, scaled shelves, knocked a bunch of stuff over, shrieking bystanders, recorded some of the action. I'll show you in a minute. According to bystanders, the reptile is around 6 feet long and remained on top of the shelves for at least an hour. Experts say monitor lizards can grow to be 9 feet long, with males generally growing larger than females. But they're not a threat to people, or at least large people. They only like eggs and small animals. Here's a clip of the incident in case you haven't seen it, and it's crazy.
Wow.
That thing is huge.
It's Godzilla. Yeah.
So is that a Komodo dragon?
It's a water monitor lizard.
Is that the same as a Komodo dragon, though?
I'm sure they're the same family.
It's crawling.
I think Komodo dragons are slower.
It's crawling all the way up the shelves. It's a giant lizard. It's a giant lizard. It's awesome.
Look at his little tongue. Wants an icy.
Sticking around. Wow.
It's just...
Yeah.
It doesn't even seem real.
Yeah.
It was captured and released back into the wild.
Yeah.
Look at that tail.
That store is too close to the wild.
Yeah, that's on us.
That's my take
You're
on
right.
that store.
You're absolutely right.
I don't
right.
know where that store is, but Thailand. If you can get that close to the wild, you need to back it up.
Absolutely right.
Because the wild will come to you.
Yep.
Because you can't essentially just have a huge box filled with food
Snacks.
And put it next to the
Open
wild.
Water source.
Yep.
That is a dinner bell for the wild.
That's right.
All right, let's bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Well, I'm in L.A. 4, but I'm a Kansas 9.
Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Any updates on Billy Sims and a tearaway jersey?
I'm just seeing one blog says that he, during the days of the tearaway jersey, running backs like Oklahoma's Billy Sims would sport a half-torn shirt. So I'm confused at what. So I'm just reading into that. And so.
Oh yeah, maybe did wear tearaway jerseys because they pull the bottom part off.
I'm familiar with the famous Earl Campbell clip, of course. He was running over dudes with jerseys in tatters.
Yeah, not good. Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I don't think all the running backs wore them.
No,
I guess not. Anyway, it's a weird. It's also a weird thing that they ever. It's weird that they ever okayed a tearaway jersey.
Yeah.
They should have just went, no, you wear a fucking jersey. You wear the same one the guard wears and the tight end wears.
You can't
don't wear
shred your jersey
ahead
of time.
You don't wear your own jersey.
You can't score your jersey.
Yeah, in a league with a bunch of rules about uniforms, about you couldn't have your jersey untucked. You know, you couldn't have your thigh pads hanging outside of your jersey. Like, they had rules.
Is this like flubber? Like, they didn't think to make it a rule because nobody had done it?
Yeah. When, you know, yeah, Stickle. when Pop Warner invented the game in 1921, there's nothing he said about tearaway. Never said anything about tearaway jerseys, so we got to let the mule kick the field goals.
That's right.
All right. Yeah, that's it's a different Disney, bad Disney movie. How good are Disney movies now?
Oh,
when I was a kid, the Disney movies, like, we got a donkey, and we got, it's a donkey that kicks field goals. Mm-hmm. And Tim Conway stars in it. It was like, whoa.
Here's how far they've come. Back then, the movies sucked. Nowadays, the shorts are amazing. Like, the little throwaway shorts and like the Lego Star Wars. Like, this is hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was so, I mean, it had the barefoot executive and the goose that laid golden eggs stuff like the Shaggy DA. It's like just a bunch of young Kurt Warner. I mean, Kurt Russell. I'm in football mode. All right. Let me. Hit Geico. Do you rent your home? Well, I bet you do. And now you got your automotive policy and you want to get your bundle going. Do it with Geico. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save and how easy it can be when you bundle up at Geico. That is geico.com. Bundle that homeowners and renters insurance and get it on, man, at Geico. All right, Appleton, Wisconsin Skyline Comedy Club coming up May 7th and 8th. We'll do stand-up there, and we'll do live pods there. And Golden, Colorado's doing stand-up there. Royal Oak, Michigan, and Kansas City, Missouri. Just go to AdamCarolla.com. Also, Adam's monthly nut for April. Righteous Felon, beef jerky, and
Expand laces.
Oh, Expand laces. Yeah. I love those. And a bottle of your choice, by the way, and a copy of Daddy Stop Talking signed by the twins. I didn't authorize that.
Outrageous.
Go to Corolla.
They got to sing for their supper.
Go to CorollaDrinks.com. Until next time, Adam Carolla for the Deaf Frat Guy, Gene and Bald saying mahalo.
Bra down, boob up.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. You can leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. Catch Gina Grad with Teresa Strasser on the podcast Easy Listening. And Bald Brian on the Film Vault. And for everything Adam Carolla, books, movies, and more, go to AdamCarolla.com.
Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Hey, movie lovers, who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts, ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.
The 2020 presidential campaign in the United States was a pretty wild spectacle to watch, no matter what your political perspective may be. But there was one particular bit of rhetoric that jumped out at me. It was a criticism of Donald Trump leveled by Bernie Sanders that made use of a well-known historical tidbit. Here's what Sanders had to say.
Nero fiddled while Rome burned. Trump golfs.
Nero fiddled while Rome burned. Trump golfs. The senator was riffing on one of the best-known stories from the history of ancient Rome. That is that during a great fire that consumed the Roman capital in the year 64 AD, the self-absorbed Emperor Nero not only did nothing to help, but laughed and played the fiddle while his city burned. It's the kind of story that many people know, even if they know absolutely nothing else about Roman history. For a whole lot of people, the history of Rome is basically just Julius Caesar, Beware the Ides of March, and Nero fiddled as Rome burned. So, in a way, it's not surprising that this story has proved so enduring. It's just too perfectly symbolic. If you need a historical example of the ruling elite being hopelessly and heartlessly out of touch, I mean, this is it. Nothing quite says, I could care less, like playing a jaunty little tune on the fiddle. But we really should ask, is any of this true? Did the Emperor of Rome really sit back and put on an impromptu hoedown as his city crumbled beneath his feet? Well, here's the thing. If he did, there was no way he played the fiddle. In 64 AD, the violin hadn't even been invented yet. The instrument as we know it today wouldn't come into being for another 1400 years at least. To give you some historical context, Nero playing the fiddle is basically the same as Charlemagne shredding the electric guitar. In 64 AD, the violin was an impossibly futuristic instrument. But we do know that Nero was an amateur musician and was particularly fond of an instrument known as the lyre, which was a small Greek harp. He was known to put on long recitals for his advisors where attendance was mandatory. So the original story was that Nero actually played the lyre and sang as the great fire ravaged Rome. But there's good reason to doubt that story too. The most trustworthy Roman sources inform us that the Emperor Nero wasn't even in Rome when the Great Fire broke out. In fact, we're told that the Emperor rushed back to the city as soon as he was informed so he could personally oversee the relief effort. So, Nero didn't fiddle as Rome burned, and he didn't play the lyre. He didn't sing. He didn't sit back all smug and laugh as his people suffered. He learned about the fire through messengers and did his best to respond. Now, that doesn't mean that Nero was somehow a good emperor or even a good guy. In fact, he was probably one of the worst. But the fiddle, well, that just wasn't a thing. Nero fiddling as Rome burned is a perfect example of what I call a historical myth, a little legend that got wrapped up in the transmission of our history and often gets repeated as a historical fact. My name's Sebastian Major, and on the podcast Our Fake History, we explore these historical myths and try to determine what's fact, what's fiction, and what is such a good story that it simply must be told. The podcast is one part storytelling and one part historical detective work. I do my best to bring these weird stories from our past to life, while also asking probing questions about whether or not we should believe them, and how these misunderstandings took root in the first place. On Our Fake History, the goal is to celebrate everything that's weird and wonderful about the past, while also thinking critically and trying to grab on to the slippery concept known as the truth. If Our Fake History sounds like it's for you, then subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.